Wow. Man, God's in the house.
He's been in the house.
He got to the house before we got to the house. What do you think? And he's got some things prepared for us today. I just want to thank you all for listening well the last 3 or 4 weeks. Not that you don't do that on a steady basis, but you've been more attentive. And I think because, especially in this service, we've been on some things that if you all aren't in, you're beginning. If you're not beginning, you're at least considering them. You know, some of you are a little bit older than you used to be, and you're not just dating to go to prom. You're kind of thinking, well, you know, might get married one day. Might do more than live in my mom and dad's basement and blog all of my great philosophies. I might actually have a life. And so, man, I appreciate your interest in the Word of God. May He speak today. Amen. May the Word of God speak today. Once again, I need to put a warning on this sermon. This particular sermon agrees with nothing you experience in the world. So I want to let you know that right off the bat, okay? This is not Fox or NBC or ABC or Rosie O'Donnell or Oprah or Dr. Oz or any of these things. This stuff actually works. This is God's word to His people. Now, here's what I got to tell you, okay? You cannot... You hear that? I know you don't hear that much in cultural, cannot, you know, because we do whatever we want to do. But let me tell you what, you cannot practice the Bible without receiving Jesus. Now watch this. You can read the Bible. You can be a theologian. Did y'all realize you can be a theologian without being saved? That's just a lot of theories and formulas and philosophies about God. You can be a theologian. Hey, some of you young guys, I'm going to give you a warning. You can be a theologian and not be saved. It's called Gnosticism. The worship of knowledge. And guess what? That won't save you. If that saved you, you'd go to the library and get better. I went to the library and got worse. There are things that change you. This is the number one entity that will change you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Anybody believe that today? How many of y'all believe that today? He's the Son of God. That's crazy. Give a look. Huh. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't believe that, so it makes it really hard for them to believe the rest of this stuff. Now today, this is one of those passages of Scripture that the secular world loves to say, look, the Bible is void, it's crazy, it talks about slavery. Now Dr. Ward did a good job when he preached this on Wednesday night to show something. Okay, how many of y'all realize in history, all through history, there have been moments of human slavery? How many of y'all realize that, okay? I know if you live here in America, you think the only time that there was ever slavery was 200 years ago. I want to remind you that God's people lived in Egypt for 400 plus years in slavery to Egypt. And then what did God do? He called them out. Now, I thank God, how many of y'all thank God, that we in our nation finally came to our senses and realized that slavery is not what God desired. How many of y'all, we ought to shout glory over that. Thank you, God. All right. Now, here's what I want you to know about the Word of God. The Word of God supports us being liberated in grace by God. But in this particular culture, there were indentured servants, also referred to as slaves of that particular household. What would they do? They would work. Now, for us, our best understanding of this is the employer-employee relationship. Okay? Now, I'm going to blow y'all away. I know some of y'all are out there seeking fairness and justice for the world. Good luck. You're not the first group. You're going to have a real bad dilemma because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has been scarred, marred, and messed up severely by sin. So I'll just help you with this. It'll never be fair. I don't care how many little signs we hold up. I don't care how many, you know, daisy trees we put up, you know, that we would all just sing kumbaya and fall in love and be fair. The world is not fair. Not. So I just wanted somebody to tell you that because I know everybody else is telling you that your mission and life purpose is to make the world fair. That's a wasted life. A lot of y'all going to get to heaven on the day of judgment and say, what'd you do, Lord? I sought social justice. And he was going to tell you that was none of your business. He's going to tell you, why didn't you do what I told you to do? I thought you believed in me. I thought you were going to tell the world about me. Don't you know that if sin is forgiveness, guess what? Now it's not about fairness. It's about faithfulness. And so watch this. I'm going to give you, we're going to deal with F words today. Not the bad one, just F words. Fairness, fame, and faithfulness. Now, which two do we really anchor in on in today's world? Fair, everything got to be fair. I hear it all the time. It's not fair. I hear people bailing out all the time. It's not what? Mr. Clay, it's not what? It's not fair. And then what do we all desire to be? Famous. Watch this. Why do you think, can you all help me with something? Please help me understand this. If you got one of those Facebooks, why do you write down you're in the bathroom? You know, current status, facilitating. We don't want to know. Hold on. Why do you think Facebook is so popular? You could be famous without doing anything. Think of all the people that are famous. Can somebody tell me what the Kardashians do? What does Paris Hilton do other than show up? But we're enamored with what? Fame. Now, let's not pick on them. I don't want to pick on Paris and the Kardashians. But I just want you to know, we live in a culture obsessed with what? Fame. Some of you all are. Some of you are, I tell you what, man, they're going to know my what? They're going to know my, there's some songs that talk about that, right? Everybody going to know my name because I'm going to get mine, right? Going to get mine. They'll know my name. My name will be in lights. Now, check this out. If we're really going to follow the Bible, especially in Colossians, it's not about knowing my name, but it is about leaving his name on everything I do. Verse 3:17, this is a crazy thing. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Now, I got my football crew back. Y'all better listen. I got some young ones here. I see some young ones. They didn't start shaving the last semester. All right, here are the young ones. They're coming in. Now, here's what I found. In the game pew, in the game pastor pew, there'll be a lot of people that got a lot of word, isn't there? And then there'll be a few people that got word and deed. You call those players. That's why you have recruits. And here in a few weeks, we'll see if we live up to your stars. These coaches always, they crack me up. They go, man, we got a 3-star recruit. And I go, well, that means somebody put 3 stars in front of their name. I said, you know how many 3 stars I found can't play the game? I said, they had a great PR person for their non-playing ability. Have you seen that for Pew? There's word indeed. So here's what I want to challenge you. To live out our faith, God lives in us, guys. God what? Lives in us. So there's got to be a balance between word and deed. Well, now check this out. This is so cool. And so we talked about the supremacy of Christ, the glory of Christ, the wonder of Christ, the philosophical understanding of Christ. And then he says, now let's get it into the everyday. He says, guess what? Husbands, you better love your wives like Christ loves the church. Then he says, in wives, you better follow your husbands as Jesus followed the Father who art in heaven. And then children, even guess what he tells children? Well, y'all were awful soft on this one right here. What does he tell children? Obey your parents. And then guess what? He comes to this relationship. He says, even if you find yourself as a slave, he says, I want you to know that the glory of God in you is greater than the position you find yourself on earth. Now, first of all, I want everybody to wake up to this. Everybody's important. Do you realize that? If you don't mind, turn to your neighbor and just go, you are important. Come on, talk it up a little. Good job. That was very good. Y'all are getting much and better. Y'all are starting to come out of that sit and stare church. You know what I mean? It used to just bore me all sermon long. Everybody just... Because here's what I used to do during sermons. In fact, it was so bad when I was in college, I would prop my head up and Elizabeth would have to hold me up. And she just told people I was praying. So look at how bad we were. I was asleep and she was lying. See what happens sometimes? And we got to get real with God. He said, now, even if you find yourself in the position of servant. Okay, now let's look. If you're employed by somebody, I want you to know you are obligated to do your best. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that? You are obligated to what? Do your best and be your best. Now, let's see what he says. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Think about this wild moment. He said, listen, even if you find yourself as a servant, be a servant in such a way that it becomes a what? Testimony to the God that saved you. Is that not an amazing moment? This is going to blow you away. Guess what? He said, well, it doesn't work. Ask Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. Okay? By his brothers. Now, come on, tell me. That's what? Come on, all you whiners. I got some whiners in here. Go ahead and whine about that. Could Joseph have been a whiner? Luke, you finished. You've already graduated with one major in psychology. Couldn't he whine? I mean, his id and his ego's all twisted up there with his brothers. Could he have whined? Country, if your brother sold you into slavery, per pound, he'd get a good price for you. What would you say? That's not what? It's not fair. Watch this. Here's what Joseph did when it wasn't fair. You better get rid of this because there are going to be some things that aren't what? He decided to have great faith in the midst of great unfairness. Instead of protest, he proclaimed the works of his God. Wow. Now, how many of y'all do that? Or how many of y'all talk more about the circumstance than you do the possibility of God in your life? The circumstance. There's things that are unfair. I'm telling you, it's unfair. It's just what? Unfair. I think it's unfair that they don't, I don't think we should have speed limits. No, I'm just kidding. I really do. Why do we have speed limits? Why do we have boundaries? People like me, I'd run over you trying to race you. I ain't got no sense. Fairness, unfairness is always trumped by faithfulness. Joseph was so faithful in a slave situation that he ended up commanding the whole nation of Egypt. Because his God, God's glory, came through his faithfulness. Now, here's why we don't like faithfulness. It's not done in the pages of academia. It's done in the reality of life. It's not done in the sweet songs of the studio. It's done on the dirt streets of the everyday. It really challenges your faith. Your word and your deed got to make up. Now, just some heads up. Whoever you are under, you should be a blessing to them. How many of you look that way? Listen, got some new recruits here. Recruits, guess what? Y'all better be your best. You know why? Because you got people that are paying you your education for a 4-year degree. Do not take that scholarship lightly. That's a privilege. Somebody is willing to pay for your college. So you ought to be excellent at what you do. You know how mad I get when somebody else pays for a guy's 4-year college and then they come out and they've not taken advantage of their opportunity, and then they expect me to pay for their existence the rest of their life. That aggravates me. And then get on some TV show talking about how they didn't have opportunity. And the last time I checked, they went to the same public school I did. They just decided to not listen to the teacher. So what would we really talk about? We'd really talk about being the school's fault, this fault, that fault. I want to give you a fault. Maybe it's our lack of faith that's caused a lot of problems. What do you think? Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. This is going to fry your brains. Hold on to your seat. If we were faithful, how much would change? Hold on, let's take the issue. I love listening to this in our world today. I mean, when it gets, you know, anytime you got to raise money, who do you talk about? I mean, when you really got to raise a bunch of money or spend a bunch of money, who you got to talk about? The poor. That always raises money, right? It's a political ploy. Have you noticed how poor people never get any better through the rhetoric of them being taken care of? Better wake up, folks. I want to liberate you. That's intentional. That's planned. That's organized. Because you got to watch people that want to be famous. They love having slaves. And God didn't call us to be slaves. He called us to be what? Children. He said so himself. He wants us to be children of the kingdom of God. He wants us to be a blessing wherever we are. It's amazing, isn't it? To be a blessing wherever we are. And guess what he tells us to do? Man, when we're under it, live in such a way that they know they can trust us. You know what the master of Joseph said? With Joseph in charge, his master worried about what? Nothing. Now, when you're given an assignment at work, does anybody have to worry? It ought to be done. Let me just give you some heads up. You want to have a good witness? Be there on time. You want to have a good witness? Do what you say you're going to do. You want to have a good witness? Don't ever do this. Don't come barreling into work late for a meeting and tell your employer that it's because you were in prayer. If you were truly talking to God, you'd have been there on time. You see, God is not religious. He's God. He blesses. He's not impressed with our religious hoorah. Have you all noticed? How many times in the First Testament does God say, your sacrifices are meaningless? You know why? Because the word and the deed don't match. He says that today. You know, your worship is powerless. You have a form of religion, but you have no what? Power, word and deed ought to line up. Let me show you what faithfulness would do. What does faithfulness do to single mothers? What does faithfulness do to most single mothering situations? They don't exist! Because you see, faithful people, if they make a baby, guess what they do? They take care of it. People that want to be famous, what do? Abandon whoever for their own fame. I told you, none of this sermon was going to agree with what's current today. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You know what Joseph did when he got caught in a political situation? He stood with God. Y'all remember Potiphar's wife? Potiphar's wife, guess what? She started hitting on Joseph. And you know she was a looker. I mean, she had to be. I mean, she's hot. I mean, Potiphar, general of the army, he's going to have a real good-looking woman for a wife, right? I mean, he's got to go to all those general banquets. You can't be walking in, not have, you know, wow. Old Potiphar's wife, apparently he'd been fighting too many battles, and she needed a little loving. She looked at Joseph, you know. Let me tell you how she hit on him. She said, come to bed with me. Does that sound like a hit? Battleship, G5, hit. And guess what Joseph said? He stated his position. My master has put me in charge of everything and given me access to anything but you. And you know what he did? He ran out of there. Joseph was smart. He was what? Faithful. Guess what happened to him because he is faithful? She squealed. She said, this slave, now when she's trying to hit on him, he is gorgeous. After he wouldn't respond, he became a slave. And so she went, he tried to rape me and they put him in prison. Guess what? He didn't talk about unfairness. He maintained faithfulness. And from prison, under a false accusation, under the glory of God, Joseph staying faithful. Guess what happened? He becomes second in command only unto Pharaoh. And Joseph was so smart, he had to listen to Joseph on everything. The Pharaoh did well because he listened to Joseph. You don't have to be first to be totally in charge. You just have to be smart. How many of y'all have noticed some first are really not smart at all? They were just smart enough to get it incredibly smart second. That's called smart. If you're not bright and you get put in leadership, please surround yourself by bright people. I provide an example of that here at church. Listen to them. Be willing to work with them. Amen? Does that help y'all? Faithfulness. Watch this. What if we were faithful with our own personal economies? What would happen to the nation as we know it? You want to change the nation's economy? Check this one out. Y'all hold on to your seats. You ready? Robin, you got it? Don't spend more than you make. Oh, my gosh. That's unimaginable for this sector over here, isn't it? But watch it. Why do we spend more than we make? Come on. Fame or faithfulness? Which one we go for? Fame. I was eating the other day in one of those restaurants where it had more utensils than you needed. You know what I mean? You just need a fork. I even like eating soup with a fork, vegetable soup, so you can see what vegetables you got in there. You know, it's fun. I was at this restaurant with a buddy of mine. This dude, a few tables over, he pulls out a black card. He goes, that dude's got a black card. I said, well, I got a silver card. What's the big deal? He said, man, he's got unlimited credit. I said, no, he doesn't. I said, let me tell you what he's got. Unlimited dumb. I said, let me tell you something else. I said, when he dies, guess what he's going to have? A black card. That's all you got. Then you don't have anything. If that's all you got, you don't have anything. But we won't be impressive, right? I remember in the 80s, guess what it was? It wasn't a black card. If you could get it, David Duncan remembers this because you had a mullet back in. You remember that, David? Watch this. You ready? You ready? If you could get a Visa what? Gold, man. You take your girl out over here to Rafferty's because that's the only restaurant we had back then. You go to Rafferty's. You throw out some Visa gold. You go, baby, I'm Visa gold. A month later, you were like, I'm broke. And watch this, they didn't have credit cards in the 50s. Why? I'm going to say how much has changed in 60 years, 70 years. You had too much faithfulness to have credit card companies succeed. See, because it wasn't about right now, it was about a life of faithfulness. Pretty interesting, isn't it? We'll see as it journeys. Fame or faith? Let me close up here. Now look what it says. Devote yourselves to the right thing. And I want to encourage you. Listen, if you got a job, you need to do excellent at your jobs. Everybody hear that? That's a faith thing, man. That's not just being a good employer. Listen, young people, I really do want to help you all. Why are you all listening to people on a blog who don't have a job? It's time for y'all to grow up quickly. Why are you listening? Watch this. You can't just listen to what they say. You got to watch how they live. Watch this. What impresses me about Jesus is not all the philosophical things that he taught. That's all anybody get. Mr. Wood, anybody can do that. Wouldn't you agree? There were great Stoic philosophies at the time of Jesus. I saw nobody die except him. For what they taught, much less live again 3 days later. That's word and deed and faith. Amen. What did Jesus do? Was Jesus faithful? How faithful? Crazy faithful. Unto what? Death. I'm going to tell y'all right now, if I'd have given that assignment, Jesus said, you got to die for Hillview. I said, I'm not doing it. I know some of them, Lord. I ain't doing it. Now, I'll die for some of them, but I ain't going to die for all of them. What about that? No, guess what Jesus said? I'm going to walk out what I've been called to do. That's God thing. Amen. That is a God thing. Well, watch. As we work with people, here's what we got to be ready to do. In word or deed, May they know who we follow. May they know who saved us in word or deed. You ready? Closing up here. Just give you some heads up. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. That's what we've been talking about. Your work represents who? Your God. Don't forget that. Your work represents what? Your God. Now, let me tell you something. You got to work at what? It. Elizabeth's daddy, he was a gracious man. Very accomplished man. Came back from World War II. One of the greatest things he ever did is help God make Elizabeth. That's what I was thankful for him most of all. He had a fifth child, and her name was Elizabeth. And we'd go see them, and he had big old fingers. And he'd look at us every time we left, since we were a young 20. We got married when we were 20. Don't ever do that. It's way too young. But we did, and we've made it by the grace of God. He said, how'd y'all stay together? Watch this. I'm going to tell you how Elizabeth and I stayed together. We did not grow up under a philosophy that you were allowed to quit anything. So we didn't grow up with a lie that said it was about us. And I know this is hard for many of y'all to believe. It really is. I've struggled with you. There have been times that Elizabeth has not liked me. More than once. Because she didn't go, well, I'm not being pleased and I'm not happy. Guess what? She wasn't being pleased and she wasn't happy because I was acting like a jerk. And guess what she did? I can't change you from acting like a jerk, but you can't change me from being faithful. And you know what I found? This is a word. Faithfulness is a word, and it will win out over jerkiness. Now, I don't know if that's a word or not, but I can make up words now. I've been in school for a long time. Jerkiness. Now, you've never been a jerk, have you, Lewis?
Absolutely not.
Don't lie in church. Well, there. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. When you work at it. Listen, I want you young folk to know this, man. I love you guys. If you will work at it and be faithful to it long enough, you will arrive in it. But guess what? Y'all have been given a steady diet of quit. It started when you were little kids. The coach, it started in all this peewee sports jazz. When little Johnny got to play, even though little Johnny stunk at it, what should have happened was, little Johnny, you're off the team. And you need to go with your daddy and go to the backyard and work at it. And when you get good enough to be on the team, you can come back on the team. Watch this. Now, hold on. That would have prevented this. I ought to be able to sit at my desk and do nothing for 10 hours and get paid. All right, young people, this is a free one today. This is free of charge here at Hillview Heights Church, exclusive and only. Some of you one day, I hope to God, having your future a job interview. How many of y'all think about doing a job interview one day? Do not do this on your job interview. I interview a lot of people. Do not, repeat that back to me, what?
Do
this on a job interview. As soon as you walk in, if you look at me like I have white hair and kind of crow's feet on my eyes, and I know y'all are impressed with each other, but here's the problem you have. 20-somethings don't hire people. Old people do. And we don't like hearing this when you come in and I go, I've had it happen here at Hillview. Interviewing a candidate for a position. Guess what the first thing was they asked me about? Take a guess. Somebody take a guess. What now?
How much do I get paid?
How much do I get paid? That wasn't the first thing anymore. Days off. Vacation and days off. That was the first thing came out of our mouth. How much vacation time and how many days off here? We had a short chat. Because I don't want to hire anybody that's more concerned about their days off than their days on. And as one of these people, Lord, they were telling me how great they were and how much of the Bible they understood. Lord, they don't even understand the very, they don't even, they had a doctorate. and don't even understand Colossians, work at it. That's why I don't get fooled. I've heard a lot of people talk stuff and seen very few people accomplish things. That takes it where it is, doesn't it? Now, let me help you. Let's get over this fairness stuff. Y'all don't hear that at UK, do you? People got, everything got to be fair. It's never going to be fair. Clacy even started when she was a young child. She asked her mother, "Mother, why is it that men sit in recliners with remotes while women cook dinner?" I said, "Clacy, it's in the Bible." I didn't say that. But guess what she said? I said, "Clacy, you know, moms are just, she's a lot better than," she said, "but you just sit there and watch TV." And I said, "Well, you know," she goes, "I'll tell you one thing, that's going to change when I get married." She said it wasn't fair. But I saw her the other day bring her boyfriend a glass of iced tea, and I said, "That's my girl." See what I'm saying? She's coming along. How many of y'all fight because it's not fair? How many of y'all have had a marriage argument because it was not what? Fair. Look what the Bible says. It'll all square up. Do what God tells us to do. Work hard. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now, let me tell you, if you're seeking fame and you get it, enjoy it. It'll be short. Here's one thing I've observed about famous people. Not for long. What's always coming around the corner? It was just a few summers past. You remember when Britney Spears, she was all the rage. We had all kinds of people walking around with midriffs. Now those folks have aged out and got adrift and they've untucked their shirts. Hallelujah. Fame is short-lived and faith endureth forever. Can I get an amen on that? Somebody agree with that? We're about to finish here. We're done. Hold on. I want to show y'all something in the ministry. Everybody's important in my opinion. Watch this, guys. This is how bad all this fame junk is. I got worried about it in the ministry. I had a young pastor the other day. I said, "What are you called to do?" He said, "Do conferences." I said, "Do conferences?" I said, "First of all, we made conferences up. They're not in the Bible." I said, "What are you going to do conferences?" "Well, I've been to seminary." I said, "A lot of idiots have been to seminary. That's not impressive." I said, "You haven't done anything to do a conference on. All you've done is read about what everybody else has done. God's called you to do something." Blew them away. I said, "Well, I got a blog and I tweet stuff that people say. Ooh, that's world changing." You know what I found? It's a whole lot easier to talk about world hunger than go feed the hungry. It's a whole lot easier to have a conference over the social problems of today than go be an answer to one of them. It's a lot easier to scream philosophically about injustice than it is to go work in such a way that your life represents justice. It's a whole lot easier to whine and cry about things being unfair than it is to live out faith where people see grace, which goes way beyond fairness. Amen. One thing you don't want God to be is, guess what? Fair. How many of y'all want God to be fair? You sure? This would have been fair. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, and if you do, I'm going to zap you off the face of the earth. Wouldn't that have been fair? Don't eat, you die. We ate. What did God do? Gave grace. Be careful if you're a fairness junkie. Some of you girls, now listen, I love y'all, but y'all get in fights and fit fights and spideys and talk about other girls over what? Well, it's not fair. Well, you've heard truth today. You're right. It's not. But God's not called you to be the equalizer. He's called you to be the grace giver. Now look what he says. Let me tell you. Be faithful to what you do. Y'all going to be amazed when we get to heaven. Some of y'all who follow all these big wig pastors, guess what you're going to be amazed with in heaven? Some of these guys you've never heard their names of, they've been in small, remote locations being faithful for their whole career. They never had any fame, wrote a book, got to be cool or anything. They were just faithful. They will be those with great rewards. And those who had their dusting, that's all they got. It's kind of like y'all don't remember this. Y'all too young. Larry remembers it because he's not too young. But the Fram air filter commercial, right? Pay me now or pay me later. It's kind of like that with faith. You may not see it now, but guess what? You'll see it later. Here's the cool thing about faithfulness. It doesn't matter if anybody else sees it. God does. And God blesses the faithful. And you better hear the rest of that. It's over in Proverbs. And opposes the wicked. You say, well, it looks like evil wins. I know it does. It just doesn't win for long. Faith wins in the long term. Amen? Well, let's end it up. Y'all been great today, more than gracious. Now, I've talked to employees, employers, heads up. Masters, people who have supervision. Provide your slaves with what is right and fair. Be a man or woman. If you're in charge, then you ought to be a blesser. I have friends that own companies that bless their employees. And listen, I know sometimes in today's time, listen, it's just real. You get taken advantage of. But here's what God taught me 3 years ago. If you're doing your best to bless those that God has put under you, and they take advantage of you, that's on them with God. That's on them with God. Because I was growing weary. I believe this. I always believe if you treated people good, they'd work good. That's not true today. Today, if you treat people good, they want more. If you give them full health benefits, then they want it for the grandmama too. But the faithful challenge was to still do the right thing even if nobody appreciated it. That's a challenge. So go be faithful. If you've been put in charge, do what's right and fair, because you better know this. You know that you also have a master who is where? In heaven. So let me help you. Whether you lead here or you don't get to lead here in heaven, only Christ will lead. And when we're saved, guess what? When we come to Christ and when we get to heaven, there will be no employers and employees. There will be those who are saved and those who we will never see again. There will be those who have been faithful and there will be those who chose not to be faithful. And here's what I want you to know with all seriousness. I love you guys. Listen, what God's doing in your lives is amazing. Don't listen to this culture telling you that you can do whatever you want to do in the name of Jesus and it's going to be all right in the end. People that are genuinely filled with real, genuine grace, guess what their lives begin to do? They're faithful. So if you ever wonder about your salvation, I'd start leaning to what you've been faithful to. Make sense? Even when it doesn't feel good. God will hold you in there till it works. Professor Sarkozy, what do you think? It's pretty clear, isn't it? You know what's always frustrated me about God's word? You can understand it. I got all these people that say, well, Pastor Harris, I can't understand the word of God. I said, you ought to read it. You know what they're really telling me? I don't like what it says. I wish it said things that were more like the culture. Fairness. Equality. There's another joke. Equality. Listen. Some people are smarter than other people. Have y'all noticed that? Yeah. Some people are never going to be smart no matter what you do. Have y'all found that to be true? I know this stings. I'm giving y'all truth. That's why it doesn't level out on our end. It levels out in God's end. You ready for this one? All have sinned, not some, all. And only Jesus can save. You say, well, who gets saved? Whosoever believes that he is the Son of God, repents. That's another part we don't preach much. Repents. Says, God, I'm sorry. I want to receive you. I want a new life. Guess what happens? Now, all I can tell you is what this preacher's seen. God's given me great opportunities. I praise his name for them. Preached in many parts of this globe. And guess what I found? I found that Jesus will save anybody that will confess their sins, repent of them, and receive him into their lives. They get a new life. And I found everybody that refuses that doesn't get saved. That's just what I found. Now, I'm giving you the street of the deal. So today, guess what? Some of you today were brought here today. Guess why? Jesus liked to come in your life. Did y'all learn anything today? Give me a heads up or something. Did you learn anything today? You ready to roll? Did y'all get this? Let me ask you a question. This sounds crazy, doesn't it? I was asked by a father the other day, they said, why did your son get a job? I said, man, it would have been a painful situation if he didn't have a job. You know why my son has a job? He was expected to get one. He was raised from the day he took his first breath to go to work. He couldn't imagine walking into my house at age 30 going, I hadn't found myself yet. I said, I'm going to find something for you. You know why he was raised like that? Because I couldn't imagine walking into my daddy's house after my daddy invested in my college education. Because you know what? He had paid 4 years for me to find myself. And at the end of those 4 years, I better have found myself. He expected me to be faithful with the opportunity given. So I want you to know, listen, I'm not talking about everybody. There's always an exception to the rule. I know some people that have been put in charge that don't have a lick of sense. Don't you all? And the way they got there is they had the right last name and they just moved them on up. But I don't see that as common ground. Most of the people that make a difference are very faithful to working at it till they get there. What do you think? I know very few people that are financially well off because it just fell out of the sky. And before you get to slamming all these rich people, if you do that, I hope you don't slam anybody because that'd be unchristlike. You ought to see how many people came from nothing and got something. And you know why I think that makes people so mad? Because people that sit in nothing and continue to sit in nothing, they would rather tell you about how they sit in nothing than pay the price to go find something. You know how I know that? I come from a family that had nothing, that paid the price for something, and that's been downlining generation after generation after generation. I didn't have prince preachers in my family. Railroaders and coal miners. And a daddy who said, I'll pay the price to live out and be faithful. I'm telling you, my friends, it's worth it. It's more than worth it to put Jesus in your life. Some of you young men, you're frustrated for one reason. You're not saved. You can't get your footing because you're not saved. Why don't you tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. What could that do? Change everything, man. Change your world. You say, Pastor Ayers, that's not popular. Who cares about it? Surely to goodness, after you a man, you past 12 years old being popular. Be faithful. Lord Jesus, come into my life and give me my sin. God will forgive you and give you a new life. Some of y'all need to do that today. Some of you already done that this week. You need to be baptized. Why you need to be baptized? Anybody know? faithfulness. What did Jesus ask you to do? Yeah, be baptized. So instead of being baptized, we decided to have theological debate over baptism. Wonder what happened if we just did the things of God instead of always discuss them. I've never seen anybody regret a baptism. I have seen some weddings that were regrettable, but I've never seen a baptism regrettable. Nobody wanted to take it back because only God can do it. Let's stand together. It's been a glorious day. Take this stuff, put it to work in the world. Y'all been more than wonderful guests. Thank you for being with us. Young people, I am more than honored that you're here. I got to argue with the radio this morning. They said that young people don't believe in God. And I said, wrong. I'm fixing to go preach to some young people that are going to be faithful enough to change the world that's around them. And that could lead to an avalanche of total change. How many of y'all are this far along? God changes things better than we do. I'll leave it at that. God's change is forever. All right, let's pray. We're going to open the altars up. We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward if you need to come forward. If you need to slide out, just do that reverently, okay? But if you don't believe in Jesus, don't slide out today. Why don't you come into the kingdom of God today? Y'all been more than wonderful. Pray with me, Lord. Those that you have already led to understand your salvation, bring them, Lord. Bring them. May the Holy Spirit bring them in the name of Jesus. Those who need to be baptized, may they be convicted to be obedient. For those of us, Lord, we've been whiners, complainers. But as we look deeply into our lives, we've not been faithful. Father, for those of us that talk about your church, but yet we can't even give you 10%, shut our mouths to our words match our deeds. Lord, for those of us that want to give great change and see great change with little personal sacrifice, wake us up to the reality of your word. Lord, may the love of God shower over us and may the truth of God direct us in all that we do. Let's come and pray. Just welcome God. There'll be people making decisions. You pray for them. Come on as you come right now. Just let God have his way. Some of you coming for baptism. Some of you coming because Jesus Christ wants in your life so you can be faithful. Some of you just know that God is real. You just heard that today. Listen, I won't talk to you. If you got a messed up marriage, why don't you come let God take the mess out of it. Put the bless in it. So man, let God have his way right now, all right? Come on, church. It's wide open.